How's it going, everybody? This is Preston Johnson at Sports Tito on Twitter. I am here with Matt Lindemann at Lindtrain, Caesar's very own. Petty Moose, I think episode 4, not 100% sure. I think it's episode 4. But we're going to take some calls tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of games that we've either bet or that people have asked about here via Twitter. And first time on the live stream on Periscope, I think it's working. We're really far from the phone, so I have this plug-in mic that hopefully is, you know, at least audible for people that are viewing live. But call in if you have anything to say or ask us about, if you have games on your mind, college football, even NFL, honestly, doesn't matter. I know Matt hates the NFL, but we can talk about anything you want. But we're going to talk about it is a petty moose. My petty moose of the weekend, I don't know if you even have one again, which is maybe a good sign. Mine was Ohio Moneyline, though.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. It was brutal.
It did cost you money, actually, because you had them in the money line, the round robin that you
had. Yeah, I did. I think I went 4-0 against the spread. And two of them were one and three in the round robin. Yeah.
SMU was the winner, I believe, right?
Yeah, right.
So I ended up having them in with Texas Tech, who was like plus 450. And
beautiful.
UNLV was close. So that 21-0 lead, they choked away. And then second and goal from 2 inches away, not running a sneak with Rourke, who just falls over everybody. They had three tries to get 2 inches. They would have beat Cincinnati. It would have been a big swing for me. Even I was doing the math. It's like a $100 leg, which mine was actually more than that. But a $100 leg on Ohio when you're parlaying them with SMU and Texas Tech. And I had everything with the Browns, too, from Thursday night. I lucked out that Baker Mayfield came in and won that game.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
But I was just going to say, the $100 actually swung me on the money line there. It was like almost $4,000. So, and I had about $250 legs, so it was about a 10K swing that they couldn't get the 2 inches to just beat Cincinnati. And they were up 21-0 anyways. They should never even gotten there.
Right.
That was a frustrating game. But they did cover, despite the pick on the out pattern up top, that could have almost gone down the field.
Could you imagine? No. It was funny. The Navy and Cincy were going at the same time, and I was watching both games, and I really didn't feel good about it. Like, once Ohio went up 13, I was pretty nervous about that. It felt like they were slowing down. Cincinnati was finding their groove. You could kind of see where that was going. And then SMU was starting to do SMU things, like getting the extra point blocked and return for two to take it from a 10-point game to a 7-point game. So actually, I bet both teams live, Navy and Cincinnati, just because I was pretty confident at least one of those two teams was going to blow it. So as it turned out, the Ohio game ended after, so I didn't know I was rooting for Navy to actually win because I didn't know I was going to lose the other three legs. But anyway, just a couple teams trying to find ways to lose games when we got them on the money line.
So I'm looking at the script here. You weren't lying before we hit play on the podcast for people that are unable to watch live. Matt wanted to talk about the Kentucky game. We know he's a Wildcats fan. For the first time in the history of his life, maybe. Actually, that's probably a lie. You could tell me what year they were actually relevant when the last year was. But 2018, they're pretty relevant now. Two big wins. And now here on the script, someone added in, will Kentucky ever lose again? I'll let you take it from here.
No, I had to throw that in there. No, I think this is probably the second highest ranked they've been outside of 2007. They snuck in, I want to say, for 1 week they were in the top 10, and then they got beat down by South Carolina, funny enough.
Oh, here we go.
Spurrier, yeah. Actually. It was when Spurrier was dominating us, though. So, last week was just insane. I've never seen anything like the game. The defense was dominating. Kentucky finally has like that game-changing defensive lineman, Josh Allen, who just gets to the quarterback every play. And I think, in college football, there's one or two positions where you can have one player that can completely change the complexion of your season, quarterback and defensive end, if you get a game changer in one of those two areas. And somehow Kentucky's stumbled into that this year. So I'm really excited to see kind of how the defensive line does going forward and if that was just a one-time thing or if we're just going to see this guy in the backfield all season. I don't know. Either way, it's really exciting time in Lexington.
So if you had to pick a winner or a side on the game,
for this week.
What does your gut say? Yeah, this week against South Carolina, I'll say minus 1.5, I think, the last time I looked at the market.
It's tough. Everything I see, I understand all the excitement, but, if I'm looking at this game from an objective standpoint and I'm trying to handicap it maybe as two schools I'm not a fan of, I see Kentucky as a team who was down 7-0 late in the second quarter last week, got that late touchdown to kind of get some momentum going into half, and then ended up dominating the second half in a game that, for the first quarter and a half, they really didn't look that incredible. So
they had to review, I think they called it incomplete, too, the pass that led to that touchdown halftime.
Yeah,
it was like a 33-yard pass, but it was incomplete originally. They flipped it. They reversed it, which was the right call, and then it led to the touchdown.
Yeah, like there were a couple things that could have gone against them, I think. And so you look at a team who everyone, remembers that fourth quarter. It's fresh in their minds, and they say, man, this Kentucky team's really great. Coming in against, like you said, a different style team, South Carolina, with some weapons in the passing game. They like to push the tempo now. It's going to be really tough, and obviously Kentucky has 4 straight wins over South Carolina, too, so you've got a little bit of a motivational edge for South Carolina there. So I'm going to be interested to see if Stoops can, you know, keep their heads in it this week and, you know, not let them get too full of themselves and, you know, see if the crowd can guide them to another win.
So real quick, my thing with this game, and I'm not going to bet it most likely, is that they haven't really seen a passing game yet. And when Nick Fitzgerald tried to pass, it's not very good. He's more of a running quarterback anyways. So I'm going to see if they can stop South Carolina. And if they can do it again, then I think it's pretty for real. So you might be in a good spot. Real quick, we did our first week of the Moneyline Dog Contest, which we talked over that concept last week here on the show. Matt basically used a form from a message board from long ago where you pick a dog every week, and if they do win the game outright, you only get one choice. You get that many points. And there was someone that picked Old Dominion. So going through the results, there were, I think it was 85 of 407 of you actually were right on the underdog, but one person got the 28 points on Old Dominion. So we're all playing from very behind. I think the next closest was Texas Tech when it was 13 at the time we put it up, and a few people did take them.
Well, I'd be curious to know if this person actually sort of thought Old Dominion was live or if they just thought they'd find one of the biggest dogs on the board. But I know that you kind of tried to talk me into Old Dom a couple times early in the week, and I shot it down. We didn't use it in any of the contests. And, of course, I mean, that was one of the best bets of the year. They were incredible.
It ended up being like one of those where you write every dog. So I post the Moneyline Round Robins on Twitter, and I'm like, all right, which one are going to be, you know, which are going to make me look really, really horrible and embarrassing? And I make the list and I delete some off. And Old Dom was one that was on the tweet before I hit submit and hit tweet that I never sent out. And I personally never actually used, but I had this hunch it might
be
close.
Had a little inkling, yeah.
We'll see. Virginia Tech, I just didn't get it. They were off of a game where they got postponed from the hurricane. Then they were off of, I think, an FCS game before that. And then before that, they beat Florida State, who is pretty much trash. I didn't think Virginia Tech was really that good. And Old Dominion was 0-3, and I think better than their record, obviously. And so, anyway, it ended up being a good play. Shout out to, I forget his name, at Big Ben. Something about Ben, but I don't think it's Roethlisberger. I should have been giving him a shout out. Let me find his
I'm really hoping that this doesn't lead to everyone just taking shots on 20 to 30 point dogs now to try to catch up. I think we got a long season ahead of us. So
At Bub. I thought it was Big Ben. I don't know why Steelers on my mind from last night.
Good work.
At Bub wins. Yeah, you are in the lead. This is a $1,000 free, $1,000 contest now, too. We had so many sports throw another 500 in there. And that was nice of him. We were going to do 500 originally, but he liked the concept and decided to throw some more money into the pool. So we'll pay off second place and third place. So even though Bub wins might get it, and now going to your point, everyone's probably going to be taking shots on huge dogs to try to play catch-up. But if you find, I mean, this is a long season. We're going through bowl season. You find 7, 8, 9, 10-point dogs you like, and you hit a couple, and Bub just keeps whiffing on the 4 touchdown dogs. I mean, you're going to be right there. Even Texas Tech players, some people did actually take Kentucky. I think they got 10 points. You're going to be right there. You're going to have a shot. So congratulations again, Bub wins on the hit, though. Next up is the Twitter questions. So we have, I think, 7 or 6, and they're all different games. So we're going to really just dive into your numbers, my numbers, what we think about the game and the matchup. The first one was from Peter. This actually came in an email, and he wanted to know what our thoughts were about West Virginia and Texas Tech. He thought it was really the first. So this is interesting. Texas Tech usually isn't very good and reliable. And I kind of was anti-Oklahoma State, so I liked Texas Tech to some degree last week. Their defense, I don't know when the last time they shut out a team on the road in the second half, let alone Oklahoma State on the road in the second half. The Texas Tech defense was really good. Now, West Virginia is obviously better, but this is their real first test. I don't think Kansas State really counts. They didn't have to play NC State in the game that got canceled because of the hurricane. So this is a game where he basically was saying the line's probably right, but it feels like a really poor spot for, I think he's a West Virginia fan, and that's why he was bringing it up. What are your thoughts on this game?
You know, I was actually initially trying to make a case for West Virginia. I thought I wanted to try to come up with a reason to go against Texas Tech coming off of not just like a road upset, but an emphatic dominant road upset. You know, how you rebound from something like that, really attests to how good of a team you are, I think. And Texas Tech, you know, I don't think anyone really had any type of expectation for them.
Sure.
I think it's just going to show that with Kingsbury, just like all these other coaches like Leach and the option teams, that with this system, man, you can throw somebody in, and losing a guy, a guy that started for 2-3 years, you know, you think is an all-world QB, might not be the end of the world. So, you know, this Bowman for Texas Tech has looked unreal so far. So I don't know if you can really bet against Texas Tech, but I think with this West Virginia passing game, really being able to test the secondary a little more than Oklahoma State's could, a little bit tougher spot for Texas Tech in their secondary there. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, West Virginia has some success like Ole Miss did.
I noticed you moved West Virginia down in your, I know you guys at Caesars do the conference updated futures every week, which I'm not sure anyone else does. And I believe Big 12, you had West Virginia either 6 or 8, and I bet 8 before the season to win the Big 12, and now they're 4. So
yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, but you did actually make them, I think, the third favorite. Maybe it was because TCU lost to Texas and West Virginia doesn't have a loss yet in conference.
Yeah, actually, I dropped them. Yeah, I dropped TCU. TCU would probably be the third highest power rated team.
Right.
But it's interesting because I was looking at S&P and they've got West Virginia up there with Oklahoma. And West Virginia is going to host Oklahoma. So I think those are two things I was looking at this week. And I said, you know, if they're not going to be, you know, I think I want to say I've got them probably a 7 to 8 point dog, something in that range. But you know, if they're going to be down there in the 3, 4, 5 range, and this team, you know, we still don't really know yet what's going on with them. They haven't played a tough game. So I don't want to take a chance on them being a lot better than I expected.
Taking
so
a shot at 6 or 7.
Stay low with them and then bump up a couple teams I'm not as concerned about in TCU, Oklahoma State, some teams that didn't look so great last week.
Next game up, and I have some thoughts on this one. This comes from Schwincat on Twitter. I believe he's actually a Buckeyes, maybe alum, at least a Buckeyes fan. But he was just curious about Ohio State, Penn State in general. He said he thought the line was about right as far as the spread goes, but said the total was 20 points too high. that's probably a little extreme, or a lot extreme. I personally, actually, last time I looked in the market, it was 70.1.
I think.
70.1, 70.5, so 70.5 or 71. That's about where it is. So I believe my number was 73 and yours is 72. So I actually think it's a little low, but not enough to bet. I don't think people realize maybe how. Now, granted, they did okay, I guess, against Tulane's option offense. But, I mean, they gave up over 200 yards rushing to TCU, to Oregon State. I'm still not really sold on Ohio State's defense as being elite. And then on the flip side, I think with Haskins, their offense is actually more dynamic than it's been in the past. Urban Meyer's back. And I'm kind of still thinking Penn State. Granted, they covered against Illinois, and that was one of the worst beats, I think, that didn't look bad when you look at the final score, but really was when Illinois is winning outright by 3 in the third quarter and don't cover 28.5. Penn State was still losing to Illinois on the road as a 4-touchdown favorite. I'm curious to see what they have. If I was to bet anything, I think I'd wait and bet Ohio State at -3 or better, which is not available right now, but it's something I'm, you know, being patient about. But the total, I think, is pretty close.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I've got the same feeling about this as I do about most NFL games. Like, it's just there's not really an edge to be had here. I'm not going to be the most informed person on either of these two teams or anywhere close to it. There are obviously a lot of people everywhere digging into this matchup, and this number, you know, is about right. So I just don't really see much of an edge in, you know, trying to dig deep into Ohio State, Penn State, and, you know, find a winner there. I lean Ohio State a little bit on, you know, where the market is now. I think it's a little short, and I want to say it's going to creep up. Although I do think it's worth noting that Penn State's home field advantage for this game is probably like 5 instead of the
17,
you know, standard, you know, 3.5, 4. So that's definitely something worth noting. But yeah, I'm kind of with you with the total. I mean, the teams Ohio State's played so far, Oregon State, Rutgers, TCU, and Tulane. I mean, TCU is only even close to formidable offensive attack, and even them, I think they're more of a defensive team this year. So
yeah,
it's going to be really interesting to see them going from those four teams to facing a team that can keep up with them on the scoreboard and is going to push the pace just like they do.
It is a good comp to bring up the NFL because so many of those games people are trying to find edges on, and there are some every week, in my opinion, that you can bet that have an edge. College football, though, is a different story, and it's interesting because media outlets working for different sites, if you know, whether it be just relaying information or talking and breaking down games, whether it be from a gambling perspective or not, those are the ones that are going to get clicks, right? Like Ohio State, Penn State's a massive game.
Kind of have to cover
it. You have
to
cover it, but if there's no edge, you know, in the betting industry as this grows, it needs to be important that viewers or listeners understand, like, we can gloss over a game without a bet because the worst thing would be trying to say, yeah, we love the under too, and we really don't, and then it just goes awry and everyone's losing bets based on what we're saying. Maybe they're losing bets based on what we're saying anyway, but I think overall last week on what we talked about, we did pretty well. Next game up comes from Eric Baldwin. He had a question. This is actually one I'm really intrigued to hear what you say, and I have some thoughts on, but Florida-Mississippi State total. He says he thinks it's about a touchdown too high. I think the Florida-Tennessee game kind of influenced it. What are your thoughts?
You know, I would probably play under here where the number is now. I want to say I had it just a tick higher, so I think there's probably a no play just based on the numbers, but I want to say I lean under here, too, because I do think that Mullen, being an offensive coach, is going to be more likely to understand and know how to beat his former offense, his former players that he grew up, you know, or he helped kind of mold into the players they are now. And watching that Mississippi State offense last week, Fitzgerald can't throw the ball. They're not exploiting him running. You know, they're not using his legs like they should. The offensive line's not good. And I still think Mississippi State's defense is pretty strong. I mean, that was a 7-7 game, you know, 7-0 late in the second quarter. So, you know, they kind of wore down late against Kentucky's really physical rushing attack. I don't know if Florida necessarily has that, that can really just, you know, kind of wear them down for four quarters. So I think on both sides, yeah, you probably have two teams that are more defensive-minded, and I just really don't see a lot of – I mean, Florida's not really explosive offensively. I don't really know – you know, I don't see them going out there and scoring 30. So I think if you wanted to play, you know, if you had to play something on total, it would be under, but just not really any value in the number for me.
Yeah, I was hoping. So I ended up firing away. You were dead right about Kentucky, and I didn't agree, but obviously they won the game outright. But I thought the best play was under. And
yeah,
I waited till closer to kick because it had creeped up from 54 to 56 throughout the week. Anyway, so I had a little money on under, which was dead on, and I think a very similar setup here. I was thinking if we can get mid-50s, 55, 56, I'll be betting under again, and it never did. It popped 52.5 opener, and it got bet down to 50.5 right away. So even 52.5 may have been high. I know Matt's number is 51. Mine was actually a little higher, but I thought matchup-wise, the points Matt made were good, plus the number in the mid-50s again, I would be betting under, but it turns out I passed. We may have a call. Jared, you're writing the name up on the board. We'll hold off on the Twitter questions. We have a few more, but Chris is on the line. We'll patch him in. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. What do you have for us?
Just a couple games. First, my power rankings have Kansas at a 14-point spread, and they're getting 18.
Nice.
And then the next game, the Rainbow Warriors, they're down to 12.5 for most places. Can you guys just touch on both those games?
Yeah, absolutely. We can keep you on the line, too. I'm curious real quick before we get into them. Your Hawaii-San Jose State game, you said you're curious about it. Do you have a lean one way or the other?
Well, I bet San Jose team total under 2.5 this year, and going into the year, I think they're still one of the worst teams. So, okay. I mean, I'm going to lean Hawaii, but I don't know after that last game against Oregon and the week off to prepare. So,
cool.
I'm interested to see what you guys think.
Yeah, I'll let Matt take the first one, and then I'll take Hawaii-San Jose State.
You're covering Hawaii? All right, cool.
Yeah,
no,
we'll
I'm glad you asked about Kansas. This is actually one of my plays this week I sort of like. You know, this Oklahoma State team, I wasn't really high on them coming into the season. And 2 weeks ago, going into Boise, I mean, they got absolutely steamed against, what was it, 3, 4, 5 points. It went from
it was a ton.
Like -3.5 to +2. They ended up, you know, pulling the upset in that game, and then they came out last week, and I just thought everything they did against Boise was undone by how they looked against Texas Tech last week. I mean, they gave up over 600 yards offense, couldn't do anything. You know, the offense can't run the ball somehow, even though they have Justice Hill and some decent weapons. And then now you look, you got receivers leaving the program, utilizing their red shirt. You know, this guy's like, I want to say McCleskey was one of their career leading receivers.
167. He's the current leading receiver on the team.
And so, you know, it seems like there's some turmoil in Stillwater right now. And then, you know, obviously I know Kansas is Kansas. They're not good, but I do think this is a team that's made strides. Their defense has made some strides, and they can run the ball with some success. I thought they were in a pretty tough spot last week against Baylor. You know, you're coming off back-to-back games where you blow out teams, which is something that
they haven't done in
Kansas is just not accustomed to. And not to mention, I think they had, what, 5 or 6 turnovers they got in both of those games. So
yep. Against Central Michigan, they had, I think, 4. And then the Rutgers game, there was like 5 by halftime. So that was why that was a blowout, too.
Yeah, it's just really tough for a team like Kansas, I think, to go on the road in that spot coming off those two games. But I think we got a little better spot this week. Oklahoma State just not really clicking right now. I think this is a lot to lay for them. And I made the number, you know, like you said, around 14. So I'm probably going to back Kansas here and just really hope that Oklahoma State isn't able to name the score like they did a lot of other years.
Yep. No, I'm in agreement with both of you guys. My number was 15. I think getting over, you know, 17.5 or better is a good bet here in this spot. The second game, Hawaii-San Jose State. So I ended up betting San Jose State today at +13. So I'm opposite what Chris at least is initially thinking. My number's a lot lower. Just raw number, I believe it was around 9. If I recall Matt's, when I was looking at his stuff this week, too, is in the 8-something range. I think S&P probably has it a lot higher, which is one of the reasons that it's higher. Hawaii, I mean, they were like that darling early, and I got lucky against them against Colorado State. That turns out Colorado State's so bad. But they struggled against Duquesne. They were down 14-0 right off the bat the other day. They got steamed from 31 to 40, and they didn't cover. They only won by 21. They gave up 21, scored 42 themselves. San Jose State's played really well. They only lost by 13 to Oregon. They covered against Washington State, and I believe they covered in their opener as well. No, they didn't. They lost to UC Davis. That's what it was. It was close, and they may have closed a dog, though, and it might have been coming down to the number on the end. But I ultimately am with you. I bet under 2.5 season wins, but I just think the Hawaii love in the market is too extreme. So I bet San Jose State. But I also bet the over. I think anything 66 or better is worthwhile. I'm playing over in this game. So I have two bets on the game when it's all said and done. San Jose State, the over. Hopefully keeps you off of Hawaii. Or I think if you do like Hawaii, that's, which is fine. I think one thing that people can get from this, if you're in disagreement with us, majority of the time we'll be on the right side of hopefully the moves. And maybe you can get Hawaii, you know, at 11 later in the week or maybe even lower. And so if you're patient, you can maybe get a better shot on Hawaii than 12.5. Like you said, you saw it come down today. So anyway, just keep an eye on it, Chris.
Yeah, I also thought maybe Hawaii team total might be a look. But thanks for you guys' info, and I look forward to the rest of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for calling, Chris. Team total, I mean, I might not disagree with it, depending on what the number ends up being, just because I like the over anyways as well. But, yeah, it's not a bad look.
I kind of took a chance, and I didn't really prepare too much for that game, thinking we probably weren't going to get asked about
Who's going to ask about Hawaii San Jose? Well, that's what's nice, is it goes with the whole spiel about Ohio State, Penn State, and the NFL games. Is like we really will probably be able to talk about most of these games. So if you have a question about Hawaii San Jose State, absolutely call in.
Send it in.
Throw it at us. Next Twitter question we had. Excuse me, guys. I believe, Sean Hunter, he wanted our thoughts on UCLA-Colorado game, spread and total. I saw that bouncing around today on screen. I don't think I'm going to be betting this. I think it's a little bit high. Not that I can really buy into what UCLA is doing yet. But it got bet from 10 up to 10.5, and I was like, man, Colorado's getting bet. That's really strange, and it was a setup because now it's 8.5, 9. So I agreed with the move. If you live in Vegas and you want to bet UCLA because it's 8.5 at Chris and 9.5 at Pinnacle, there's 10s in Vegas still, so take a look if you're listening and you wanted to snatch a good number, at least versus the current market. But I'm going to be passing. Total-wise, I believe I had it like 57-something, so I think it's a little bit high. I think Colorado's defense is a little bit better, and I believe they're off of a bye week.
I believe both teams are.
Both teams are. So it's kind of like the double bye week, double preparedness for the defense, a little extra time. Generally bodes well for an under. Obviously depends on what the number actually is. Right now, though, I think the number is a little high anyway. So if I was to bet anything in this game at this point, it would just be betting the under 60.5.
Yeah, I mean, we actually I put this game up at work. I actually shaded Colorado up a little bit because I made the game higher. Really good two-way action on this game. Some people laying both sides. But nice. I think a little more respect for UCLA. And as you can tell, the move came down through 10. But, you know, I think UCLA coming off the bye with Kelly and looking at the three teams they've played so far, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and Fresno, I mean, that's got to be the toughest schedule.
Pretty rough.
One of the toughest in the nation. So you got Kelly with a week with the freshmen to kind of work and get ready. We don't really know how good Colorado is. That Nebraska win's really not all that impressive now. So yeah. I think
they lucked out in that game to even win it anyway.
Yeah, UCLA makes a lot of sense, I think. But it's just one of those things where I had it a little bit higher. So if I wasn't going to be able to get 11 or more, it's just hard to justify playing it.
Albert, we have another caller on the line. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
We're doing great, man. Thanks for calling in. What do you have for us tonight?
Yeah, so my question is more of a general betting strategy question. So I wanted to know, how do you time the market to get the best number? Do you guys have any strategy?
Ooh, that's a really good question. We can keep you on the line, too, unless we get another call in. But that's very dependent on being able to have your own number that you think is really reliable and test it against the market. And so if more often than not, and by more often than not, I mean, you know, a really good majority of the time, you're able to, you know, have a number, say we're talking about UCLA, say I had it around 8 and it was 10.5, you know, then if I was to be forced to bet the game, I'd be betting 10.5. So I wouldn't be looking to bet Colorado at minus 10.5. I'd be waiting to see if I could bet Colorado, you know, at a lesser number, but that all really is dependent on having your own projection that you know is reliable versus where the market closes every weekend and being able to do that enough times where you're confident in it. So it's tough, and there's a lot of games I bet later in the week, a few every Saturday morning that I'm betting against the move, which I actually, for some reason, maybe it's just fluky. I feel like I do better in those games long-term than I do betting earlier in the week. So it's very just dependent on your own numbers, but a lot of the times, you know, like one example would have been actually, the last 2 weeks, it would have been last week. BYU played McNeese State. So the week before that, they played Wisconsin, and the total moved from, like, 46 to 52. And I was like, all right, that's it. Like, I think even 51.5, I'd bet some money. And then I went to 52, and I bet under. So I was betting under because I disagreed with the move. And then it actually got to 53, and I was like, what the hell? So anyways, I was maybe wrong. I got 1 point worse than where it closed. It was moving really right before kick. But I did it the week before that, too. I'm totally blanking on who they played. It was Cal. Yeah, the Cal game. I think I got bet up, too. Yeah, and then I bet under in the Cal game after it was announced Bowers wasn't playing. at quarterback. But anyways, there's opportunities like that to actually play against a big move later in the week, and usually Saturday mornings after the limits go up and you take more money.
Yeah, honestly, I think this is almost an unfair question for us to answer because we have a ridiculous advantage being here in Vegas and some of the resources we have. I don't know how many people out there listen or use an odd screen of some sort, but having an odd screen and all these outs in Vegas where you have some books that are slow to move and you can maybe see a move come offshore, that certainly helps time your bets. You know, if you have a game you maybe are leaning towards and you're not really sure, you know, which way the number's going to go, and then you see those sharp books move, that's something you can use as an indicator to know, hey, this is when I need to grab that bet. So that's something, you know, I'll look for. But, you know, as far as if you're not able to do any of those things and if you just have to try to time your bets, yeah, pretty much what Cheetah said. I'm sticking to the numbers and just saying, okay, this number's gotten to the point where I think there's value relative to my number, so I'm going to take a shot. I mean, if you're not able to watch an odd screen and, you know, compile a bunch of outs that you can use, that's really all you can do.
I would say the last thing before we let you go, Albert, we do have another call. Find people that, like, I know you're calling into our show, and we appreciate that a ton. Like, we absolutely do. You respect our opinions, I think, to some degree. Find other people that you think are giving good information, good analysis, and listen to them. And if you listen to a bunch of stuff early in the week, as much as you can, read everything you can, then you're going to have a good idea of, you know, what to maybe do about a lot of the games. So for people that aren't having, you know, the ability to or the time to do their own numbers, you know, get as much information as you can and then kind of go from there, and you can kind of game plan. Should I bet this now or should I wait? And, you know, that'll at least pay off. You know, it'll improve your ROI long term as you go.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Take it easy. We have, I think it's Eric up on the line. Is that right? Eric, how you doing tonight?
Hey, how you going, Preston?
We're doing well. What do you have for us?
My hometown Toppers. Obviously, the win over Ball State was nice, but that number seems a little short to me. I would have to lean Marshall in that game. Your thoughts?
Matt, you have anything on this game? I know he was just not complaining, but he thought it was funny. A couple callers ago, we were talking about Hawaii San Jose State, and he was like, what the heck? We weren't planning on that, but this is good. So are you from there or an alum?
Yes, Western alum. I live in Bowling Green.
Nice. No, congratulations. So this has moved. The only thing I was going to make, and then I'll let Matt throw some points out if he has them. This opened 3.5, and it's up to 6.5. So it was at least short at the 3.5 for sure. I'm not sure approaching 7, it's worth betting Marshall anymore.
And maybe, didn't it open at like 8.5, I thought?
Maybe it did at win.
Yeah.
The opener, it says on screen, was 3.5 at Chris.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 3.5 up to 7. It touched 7 and then got pushed back down. But maybe the win opener was 8. Or
yeah,
bet
you
online
know what they think the number should be, I guess, if that's right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have it. I think it's actually pretty fair. Marshall got bet on pretty heavily against NC State last week. Some sharp guys I know are hitting the 6.5, 6, 5.5s even. I think it's a fair number at this point. I think at 3.5, I would have laid it as well. West Kentucky isn't bad, though. I mean, they've been a lot better than they were a year ago in the first year with a new coach.
Yeah, Western is – I've somehow ended up watching this team a bunch, and I had a bet on them last week with Ball State. And, yeah, they've really ended up being a lot better than I expected them to be. You know, last year I thought they were one of the worst coach teams in the country. I just wasn't impressed by anything. And, that, you know, the main meltdown was really bad in week two. But, you know, they played pretty competitive against both Wisconsin. Louisville. They should have beaten Louisville. And then, you know, I don't know how much you can brag about that now after seeing them against Virginia. But, you know, yeah, they've looked good, and I think Samford has at least got them going in the right direction from where they were last year. But, you know, Marshall, they kind of had that really tough game. I think we've talked about this sometimes. These small schools, when they have that Super Bowl game against a Power 5 team at home, they just always – they never have anything.
They just
completely fall on their faces, and that's what the spot Marshall was in last week against NC State. For some reason, teams just don't seem to handle that well. And I think a little better spot for them this week, you know, coming off kind of that beating they took against NC State, they're definitely going to be focused. And this is a pretty good on both sides of the ball, really good Marshall team. So I don't really like the situation for Western much this week, but a number, I want to say, I think I had it right there. It was a little high at open, but where it's at now, it seems fine to me.
Eric, before we let you go real quick, I want to ask you your favorite Western Kentucky football moment, if you have one off the top of your head. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but do you have one?
Don't say it. I know what you're going to say.
I know what I was thinking, too.
No, I'm not going to say the two-point play. I don't want to hurt Matt Timmer's like that.
Appreciate that.
No, I would have to. Actually, I've been watching them since the FCS days.
Nice.
They actually beat Southern Illinois on a homecoming date about 12 years ago.
Man, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was up there, you know, I was a youngster up there about 13 years old, and That still is one of probably my greatest topper moment.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Hey, thanks for sharing, Eric, and thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. See you, Chris.
I've only been betting seriously for like 11 years, so I honestly wouldn't even know if there was a spread for that game.
I'm trying
what it
to
was.
Think that,
we can maybe
12
pull
years
off.
Ago sounds like the Cragthorpe years or close to it, so I don't know.
It would be. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll look it up if we have something to fill here in the next 10 to 15 minutes. We had one more Twitter question that came in, and that came from BetterX180. Excuse me. This is actually good. He says, Kansas State's been pretty brutal, but is this a good spot for them this weekend? Texas played TCU last week, Oklahoma on deck. We got a little bit of a Twitter conversation last week about letdown spots or sandwich spots and this and that. It had to do, I think, with the Syracuse game and some people on Twitter that are interacting pretty regularly, and it was a friendly engagement. It wasn't anything back and forth. But at this point in my, we'll call it capping betting career.
Evolution
of it all. I rarely put too much stock into like a sandwich spot anymore. And I think it's fine if the numbers agree. So if you think that Kansas State at, I think it's been bet up from 7 to 8.5, 9. If you think Kansas State plus 9 is too high of a number, then you can say, and also Texas is coming off a big TCU win, and they have Oklahoma on deck. I think those are nice bonuses, but they should never, like that actual like spot or sandwich or letdown should never be the sole reason that you're making a play. And you need to be able to at least distinguish to some degree, is this number a good bet? Am I paying a premium? And I think one example of that Connecticut, Syracuse game last week is, you know, Syracuse was off the quote unquote big Florida State win, I guess, you know, Florida State. And then they Clemson on deck, who they're playing this this Saturday. And then the question was, you know, and then it opened, I think it was around 27.5. Like, you know,
the game ended up falling.
It did, actually. Did I don't know if you guys got middle on it or some or anything, but it ended up closing 30 or 31. And I had actually said in this Twitter conversation, you know, I think my number was 32. I wasn't going to get involved because there was like a weird spot there, and Syracuse was coming off the Florida State win, and all that stuff's fine. But you shouldn't be betting plus 27.5 when the number should be 32. You should be waiting and taking potentially the 31, which we actually would have cashed for. I think it landed 30, like Matt just mentioned. So I think that's important to recognize with these games is, yeah, the sandwich spots, the letdowns, those can play a difference. They may, but you need to ultimately, the market's going to move based on the numbers. No one out there that moves and influences the market is influencing it via a sandwich spot. So, you know, if Syracuse is 5 points, 4 points short, it's probably going to move up. And if you liked UConn, then wait on it. And, you know, if you liked Syracuse and you need a bet right away, I know someone that actually laid the 27.5 and it ended up being a good bet too. So it just all ultimately depends on the numbers with me now. Matt, do you have anything to add on that?
Yeah, you know, I think what I was going to say, exactly what you said, we talked about it last week. The kind of the rule of thumb I try to apply now is the more obvious the spot, the less emphasis I put on it. Because I think, you know, the letdown in sandwiches and look-aheads are so well-known now that coaches are talking about it all week. You can't come out here flat this week. Everyone's talking about a letdown. You're not going to be ready. So I'm not looking to just find general, very vague type situations like that. I'm looking for a specific situation for a specific team, why they're going to play good or bad based off of, you know, what happened in the last game. I'm not looking to necessarily just apply a blanket statement like, oh, they have a big game next week, so they're not going to play well this week.
Sure.
I think it's really dangerous, really lazy to do that. And generally what I'm going to try to do in that spot, because I know you're going to pay a premium to bet the team that's in the good spot, is I try to find a reason to bet like a Texas against Kansas State, you know. So
you mentioned that with West Virginia earlier too, kind of.
Let's try to find, because I know that the spot side is Kansas State. So let's see what we can come up with, and maybe I can lay a little bit better number with Texas, which I actually have that game higher as a result. I think of, you know, kind of that situation, like you said, you do pay a premium. So I'm, you know, trying to make a case for Texas, and actually in that game, I think that's a good example because I just don't think Kansas State's defense or their offense can find a way to keep up. Texas defense has looked really, really good. I don't see Kansas State scoring. How can their defense hold up for four quarters? And then even more so, looking at K-State's game against Mississippi State now, that really looks bad after seeing Mississippi State against someone else last week. So that's actually a game where I think you can go against the spot, maybe lay it with Texas, and maybe get a little bit of value because they are in that sandwich.
They did look really good after TCU was able to score against Ohio State and move it pretty well. Like Texas didn't really let them, and I believe one of the scores for TCU was off of a turnover. And then against USC couldn't really do anything after Texas gave up the first 10, 13 points, whatever it was. So the defense has been fantastic. It'll be interesting to see how they respond. It was one of those for me, too, where it was Texas or nothing just because the number was too low. Go ahead.
I'd also like to say that I think Texas is a team where you see how they started their season on such a low point that they're now trending upwards, and the trajectory of that team is, I think, going up right now. So there, until we see something that really gives us reason to believe that they're, you know, the last 2 weeks have been a fluke, I'm gonna go ahead and assume that what we've seen from them against USC and TCU is the real Texas team, not what we saw in week one against Maryland.
Real quick, we had a fake phone call. If you're listening and you did try to just call and then you weren't there, we may have just missed the ring. Dial right back. The producer's looking at the light up button. He'll get you this time. Real quick though, if we don't get a call back, no problem. We're gonna wrap this up here in a few minutes. There were a few more games that we had made note of. We've talked about a couple of them, but I want to just do two more if we have time for that. One is a game we did talk about. We didn't talk about this side, which we both like, but the Florida-Mississippi State game. Dive in a little deeper. I know you talked about Mississippi State's struggles with Nick Fitzgerald and whatnot, and maybe why we would play that total. We were responding to a Twitter question in that game. But the Florida side, I know you bet Florida earlier in the week. What else do you like about the game?
You know, the first thing I did, I looked up, I don't want to say the first thing, but I did look up earlier. I wanted to know the last time a coach was facing his former team the year after coaching there. And the last time it happened apparently was Houston Nutt in 2008, went into, I want to say, Arkansas and beat them as the Ole Miss coach. So kind of interesting fact that this is something that we haven't seen in 10 years. But I was not impressed by Mississippi State whatsoever. You know, along with their offense struggling like they did, and, you know, Fitzgerald not really being utilized as a runner, their defense, you know, had really struggled to keep their composure. I think there were four personal fouls against them. Seemed like just really undisciplined, not playing smart football, which I think is a reflection of a coach who, you know, we still don't know a lot about yet. We don't know what Morehead can do at the head coach level. So I think there's definitely some concerns as far as that transition's concerned and where Mississippi State is headed. And then looking at Florida, I realize they had six turnovers in their favor last week, and they, you know, ran up the score because of that. But Florida still had over 7 yards per play on offense. They had no problem moving the ball. They ran the ball with ease. They just had so many short fields and easy scores as a result of the turnovers that it looked like they shouldn't have scored as much as they should have. But they moved the ball fine. I think this is another team with, you know, kind of similar to what you can say with Texas, that, you know, that really bad loss to Kentucky kind of, you know, go ahead and hit rock bottom right off the bat, and then now you're starting to build your way up. You get that really nice win at Tennessee. Now the next goal is to go in and win one for your coach against his former school. You know he's going to go all out on his game plan. He's going to give everything he's got. And so I would love to bet Mississippi State in this situation. If they were playing well and I felt like they were rolling, last year's team would probably blast Florida in this spot, you know. But they don't have Mullen. I don't trust Morehead yet. The offense doesn't look good. The defense is undisciplined. There's a lot of problems. So I'm going to take Florida. I think they hang close.
It does seem weird, and we do have a caller we'll get to here in about 30 seconds. But McSorley, it feels like, ran the ball more than even Fitzgerald is last year at Penn State, where Morehead was the OC. And it's very eerie. Not eerie is the wrong word, but very similar, at least, to the Sumlin-Khalil Tate thing at Arizona. And I'm just very intrigued why these coaches, and maybe it's because they're trying it before conference play or something, but Mississippi State, Kentucky was a conference game, so that doesn't really make sense. But like, why are these coaches not letting these running quarterbacks take advantage of, I think, their biggest asset?
One more point I'm going to make real quick is that we have not seen Joe Moorhead without Saquon Barkley in his backfield opposing defenses preparing for him. So I don't know. That could be part of it.
We have Matt from Pittsburgh, I believe. Matt, how you doing tonight?
Hey, what's going on, Cheeto?
Hey, we're doing well. What do you have for us?
Well, I was actually going to switch it up and talk some baseball totals if I could.
Sure, yeah. All right. Fire away.
I was just thinking the last couple of days, as far as I'm pretty much predominantly an under player, and we know the key numbers of, you know, 11, 9, and 7. What's your philosophy or approach as far as, like, taking an under? You like a game, but going under 8.5, since it's, like, on that key number there, will you avoid going under 8.5 or under 10.5? Because it seems like, you know, last couple of games, you know, I've played under 8.5 and it's landed on 9, or a total of 10.5 at Coors and it lands on 11? Or is it just a case, maybe, should I eliminate doing that, or is it a case where I'm just only remembering me losing going under 10.5 as opposed to all the other bets that I won going under 10.5? You think that's the case?
Yeah, if you've been betting baseball all season long, every day, watching totals, betting unders all season long, at some point during that sample size, like, you're going to realize there's a few totals that at 8.5 landed 9 or at 10.5 landed 11. It reminds me of the – I used to hear this. I never really understood it. The NFL thing where, the, you know, never take a -2.5 because there's a reason the dog is only 2.5 and not three.
People love that.
So it's very similar to me where it's kind of just, I think, a mental kind of hurdle you have to get through. But if your numbers or whatever you're doing to cap a total says under 8.5 is a good bet, don't stay off it because it's not 9, because 9 is a key number. I mean, there's a reason it's 8.5 and you think it should be 8 or 7.8, whatever it ends up being. Fire away. I mean, that's just going to be part of the variance where you realize, hey, man, this landed 9, or that's 3 times in a row I've been hooked on a total. It sucks. I mean, that's just part of the gig, though. But I wouldn't, you know, just totally stay off edges because some of those key numbers are close to where you're having to bet in the market.
Yeah, I don't know your situation with outs. I don't know if you have options of betting in different books or what. But I think what I would do is just create some rules for yourself and kind of set up some guidelines and stay consistent with whatever you do. So say if you're deciding between 9 under -20 or 8.5 flat, am I going to bet 9 or am I going to bet 8.5? Okay, now if it's 9 under -125 and 8.5 -05, what am I going to do? And just whatever you do, just try to stick with it and say every time it's 9 under -30, I'm going to bet 8.5 instead. And every time it's, 9 under 20, I'm going to bet 9. Just whatever you do, try to stick with it. And that way you can sleep at night knowing that you didn't just make some off-the-wall decision to
keep it uniform.
So that would be my advice.
Yeah, Cliff Plain, I'll get off, guys. Appreciate the feedback. But and it's a case where, I don't have access to Penny anymore and no drop-down menu. So some of the books, yeah. I do have multiple outlets, but some of the books that I'm dealing with right now, I don't have that drop-down menu. So I appreciate the feedback, guys. Thanks a lot.
Right, sure, no thanks problem. For calling. If I recall, no I'm going off the top of my head, but it's like 17 cents on and off the 7, 16 cents on and off the 9. Like, so, yeah, Matt makes a good point where, if you're -130 on a 9 and -105 on an 8, it's going to 8.5. It's going to be better to take the 8.5. You shouldn't be paying 25 cents for a half run on 7 and 9. If you're paying 15 cents, then it's worthwhile. So anyway, it's good to look. You can Google that stuff, find, what half runs are worth in totals, and you'll be able to distinguish that. And then, like you said, make a uniform decision that going forward, I'm going to be doing this, especially if you have multiple outs. Last thing that we're going to call it a day, call it a night. The Alabama total. This one intrigues me because I tried. You have something to say first?
You want to cover Utah?
I don't really want to just because I'm trying to keep it at 45 minutes or less. But right, we did have Utah Wazoo
just
listed
sure
in.
You didn't miss it.
Yeah, if people have a question, they can shoot us a message on Twitter and we can talk about it. But I wanted to spend 2 minutes on Alabama real quick because they are Alabama. They're crushing everyone. I tried to jump in. Even though I had A&M plus the points, I also bet about half as much on the under 61, which looked like a good bet when it was 58. Didn't look like a good bet like 10 minutes into the game.
Correct. 2 minutes.
Alabama's offense is ridiculous. So tell us why. I know you like the under. This is why you made a note here, Alabama total. I believe you got a lot better number than the current market by a few points at least. You still maybe like it here at this current number. And tell us why. I mean, they're playing a team that they're favored by about 50. What do you see happening here in the game?
Well, I don't want to necessarily say that I like it as much now. I just think it's a really interesting total to talk about because it's just such a unique situation that I don't really think you ever see. I can't think of the last time I've seen it where you've got an Alabama. If you go back and look at Alabama, when he faces these teams, when he faces Sun Belt, FCS, these schools, he doesn't try to embarrass them. There's no need for Alabama to go out there and score 60 points on UL Lafayette. Because he knows that they don't need it. The other team is trying to get out alive. They're trying to get their paycheck and get some exposure. So it does the other school no good to run it up and win 65-7. So generally, if you go back and look at these games, Saban keeps it in the low to mid-50s, and that's pretty much kind of where they die. And I'm well aware that Alabama's offense this year is so potent that, they scored 50 on Arkansas State in the first half. But then go look at the second half of that game. It was just absolute dead under after they scored all those points in the first half. So he doesn't push the envelope. He goes totally vanilla when they're winning by 50 in these games. So basically, I think all you're asking yourself at this point are two things. Can UL Lafayette get to 10, which I think is very dicey, could be tough. And if they don't get to 10, is Alabama going to score 60? So I don't know if either of those things are going to happen. So I think just from a sheer numbers standpoint, you kind of have a unique situation where, the number maybe should be 65 based on what their offense is and, what they come out to at this point. But based on kind of game theory and the situation, should the total be that high? Can it be that high? I don't know.
It's worth mentioning a few things. One, it has moved 2 points since you probably last saw. It is 67.5 or 67 now.
Oh, it's going up now.
Which is a little nicer. It's a little nicer. I think you got better, though.
Yeah, I did better.
So, but it's getting closer to where you bet it. So maybe you like 67.5 a little more. But your point about how the game's going to break down. Even against Ole Miss, it went down this way. And it was one of the weirder beats that week where one team, Ole Miss, scored 7 9 seconds into the game. The other team scored 62, and the over 70 lost. That was the final score, 62-7. It completely died in the middle of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. And if it's similar, they've been playing the third stringer. I forget his name off the top of my head. But even Hurts isn't playing the entire game. So that kind of, oh, well, he's going to score with the backups in the fourth quarter thing, I think, goes out the window because they're not even really using him. I agree. And I think if there's anything to do, it's maybe now they're going to be super inflated in the first half versus the full game anyways. But look at what the second half total is, and that might be something I look at if it makes sense to bet under in the second half.
Yeah, it actually makes a lot of sense. Second half, I guess, would work, you know. Kind of, you know, his first halves have been flying over, so.
Do or die, and then we're going to hang everything up. Over, under, UL Lafayette, 7.5 team total. It's going to be juiced over, but which way do you go if you head to?
I'm going to go under because Bama gave up 23 last week against A&M. They did not look very good. I think Saban wants to get a shutout in there.
I like it. All right.
I need under 7.5, so I'm going with it.
Thanks for coming in. Talking some football. Thanks to everyone that called in. I believe there were four of you. Real quick, odds for the contest. We're going to be doing them every Thursday morning. We'll be posting the Moneyline Dog Contest weekly line. So last week we did a little earlier to push it for, you know, a little longer time. But Thursday morning, anticipate for me, it might be a really late Wednesday night. I'll be posting them. But you can wake up, look them over, and then make your selection. $1,000, free money. A Petty Moose podcast, I guess, sponsoring the contest. But so many sports pitching in as well last Saturday and donating. But thanks for everyone listening in. Thanks for the callers again, and we'll talk to you next week. Down, 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 down.